in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. It's very interesting. Here we say that we can become children of God just by doing two things. That we need to receive him and we need to believe in his name. There are two prerequisites to become a child of God. I really thank God because the identity God has given me. I'm a child of God. Everybody wants to become somebody. That is the biggest problem that people are facing. And that's the reason why many people are doing this and that, to make some kind of attention of the people. Or I just want to tell others who I am. When I was a small boy, I used to go to my village and tell my, when people ask, hey, who you are? Then I used to tell my father's name. I'm Matthew's son. My father is Matthew. He was a respectable person in that area, I think. And that must be the reason why most of the people respected me and even loved me. It is not respect, it was love. So I really loved to be known as Matthew's son. But it was a small village. Sometimes, you know, I used to go to the town, maybe 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers away from my village. So if somebody is asking me, suppose somebody is asking me that who you are, then I will say, I'm Matthew's son. Then they will ask a question, Matthew, who is that fellow? Because Matthew is not only to my village. So I understood that the son of Matthew is not a big name or nothing like that. It doesn't work if you go out. So when I was studying in the university, I was studying in a good university. So whenever we go out, we used to say who you are, then we say we are students of this university and we get respect. And when I'm doing a job, naturally, when you are entering into your profession, then suddenly you are known by your profession. If you're a doctor, you say, I'm a doctor. And, you know, I was a journalist and a writer. I write books and all. So people used to call me or understand me, or I was identified as a writer. So once I was in India, in a very far place, very close to Pakistan, and I was going to a church. Church means, you know, somebody took me, and he was introducing me to the wife of the pastor. The pastor was not there. There was nobody. I wanted to see the pastor, but the pastor was not there, only the mother. She's an old woman. Maybe she's not a person who is reading things and all. So my friend introduced me as, hey, he is my friend Saju, he's a writer. And this woman said, wow, that's good, my son. Yeah, somebody came and wrote these Bible verses in the wall. So now it is faded. It is good that you came. You can repaint it. She thought when he introduced me as a writer, she thought I'm a painter. So I understood that there is no good in knowing as a writer if people are not reading books. What is the use of it? So my identity doesn't work. Each and every identity works only in a place where that thing is familiar. So I wanted to get an identity that transcends all kind of age and, you know, place and things like that. But I thank God because God has given me an identity. What is it? I'm a child of God. And this identity, it is not limited to a certain place. My identity linked with my father, it was limited to my village. But you know, now I'm a child of God. Anywhere in the world, I'm a child of God. I'm in Sri Lanka now. I was in Dubai last week. Most of the time, I'm living in Africa. Everywhere, I'm a child of God. I'm coming from India. I'm a child of God. Anywhere, I'm a child of God. And even when I die, even when I reach heaven, you know, I'm a child of God. So my identity, that is the biggest identity God has given me. I really like it and love it. And that's the best identity anyone in this world can have. So here we see that all who received him and believed in his name, God gave authority to become his children. All. It is not limited to a certain group like the Jewish people or the British people or the rich people or the poor people. All. Everybody. God is for everybody. Anyone in this world, anyone who lives on the face of this planet Earth, if he receive him in and believe in his name, God has given authority to become a child of God. That's wonderful. That's great. I'm asking you, my friend, do you have this identity? If you do not have this identity, you have not found your real identity that stands forever. All other things is vanity. It is vanity. Maybe you say, oh, I'm this and I'm that and I'm somebody. Who is somebody? We have seen many, many somebodies in the world, right? Even Alexander and also Babylonian emperors or Julius Caesar or Napoleon or Hitler or Golda Meir or all kind of Abraham Lincoln, even Mahatma Gandhi or all kind of people. Where are they now? What is their identity? Of course, their memories, I love it, but you cannot be like them. You can be somebody more than that, more than them. What is it? I'm a child of God. So my friends, I advise you to have this identity. It is easy. It is easy means it is not, you know, nobody is going to throw it to you. There is a prerequisite. How can you be a child of God? That's where we see receive. First of all, it says receive him. Receive him in. That means Jesus should go in. Who is a Christian? Sometimes I ask people, who is a Christian? A Christian is a person who has Christ in. In. In means in. That means Christ should go in. Many people go to church. And some people have their denomination spirit. Oh, I belong to this church. They have church in. They are churchians. They are not Christians. A Christian is a person who has Christ in. You need to receive him in. Nothing else will do. Nothing else. I used to use an example. It's just an example of how we receive Jesus and what how it works. Let me tell you, two people. Let's name them Jimmy and some other name. Jimmy and John. Okay. Jimmy and John. Jimmy has some problem. Jimmy was afflicted with a bacteria, suppose it's a bacteria, and he had boils all over his body. He is suffering very much. And Johnny saw that his friend Jimmy is suffering. And one day, when he saw Jimmy, he was asking, why don't you go to a hospital? Oh, that's a good idea. Do you think that if I go to the hospital, it will work? Yeah, you go to a hospital. So what happened? Jimmy went to a hospital. The next day, Johnny saw him and asked, Jimmy, did you go to the hospital? Yes. What the doctor said? Doctor? No. You just asked me to go to the hospital, right? I went to the hospital and came back. Wow. This is many of the people who are... They think they go to the church. I tell you, my friends, if you go to the church, this is the only thing. It is just like going to a hospital. Of course, the church has everything. The hospital has everything that is needed for you, but you are not using it. Then what's the use of going to a church? The church, it is wonderful, but if you are just going to the church and coming back, nothing happens. So Johnny said, Jimmy, it's not just going to the hospital. You need to see the doctor. Oh, okay. The next day he went to see the doctor. And Johnny met him. Hey, did you see the doctor? Yes. Then what happened? What did he say? He said, Jimmy, it is good that you came now because it was in its worst form. This is a bacteria in your body. The bacteria called Sinola virus. Yeah. This is Sinola virus. And he said, you know, you were about to die. It is so good that you came now. So I will prescribe a medicine. It is crucifixion. Something like that. Okay. I'm just trying to make you to understand it. So this is a prescription of the medicine. And he said, don't worry about it. If this medicine will certainly redeem you and give all the salvation that you need. And where is the medicine? Medicine? No, I got the prescription. He said, I got the prescription. Didn't you go to a pharmacy and get the medicine? No. The doctor gave me the prescription. This is the same like if you say, yes, I have Bible. Yeah, Bible has everything, but it is just like a prescription. If you have Bible with you, keeping it in your hand, that's not good. What is written in it and get it in your life. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't work. And Johnny was asking this Jimmy to go and get the medicine from the pharmacy. The next day he came and he said, Jimmy, where's the medicine? Or did you eat the medicine? No, I did not eat. Then, I have kept it. I went to the pharmacy. I have the medicine with me. Johnny, if you don't eat, take it in,
then it doesn't work.
No. I truly believe that this medicine is going to heal me completely. I believe it with all my heart.
Do you think that it will work?
No, my friend. Belief is needed. But just by believing Jesus is remedy for your sins, just by believing it, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be saved. Jimmy said, even I have made a song about this medicine. And he started singing, oh, what a wonderful antibiotic I have. All my sins and all the troubles will go away. Do you think that by singing a song about the antibiotic, he is going to be redeemed from his sins? No, my friend. You need to take it in. Likewise, only when you receive Jesus in, your sins will be forgiven. Your sins will be over. When it is like an antibiotic, when an antibiotic goes in, you know what happens? All the bacteria are going out. Likewise, when Jesus goes in, you know what happens? All his sinola virus, it goes out. Your anger, your strife, your all the things, all your desires of this flesh, everything, it goes out. Some people say, I have Jesus in, but they try to cohabit with all their sins. Jesus, and that never will happen, my friend. If you have taken Jesus in, then you cannot have all these viruses in your body, in your life. How can you say that I have received Jesus? What is the proof that you have Jesus in? The proof is that you have redeemed from your sins. The sins is gone. That is the proof. So receive him in. That is the first thing that is needed. There's no other way for salvation. You need to receive Jesus in. Then, the next thing, it is believed in his name. What does it mean? Believing in a name. What is a name? I think many people do not know what does it mean by saying the name of Jesus. It says that you need to believe in the name of Jesus. What is a name? What is its relationship with you? Do you think that just by taking the name of Jesus, you are going to be saved? Some people think like that. And that's the reason why many of these miracle workers say, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, good. But, you know, don't think that it is just because they pronounce the name from their lips, everything is happening. That's a wrong understanding. If that was the case, the sons of Sceva could easily cast out the demons. They also were using the name of Jesus. Jesus whom Paul preaches. In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Yeah, they also took the name of Jesus, but nothing happened. Something happened, but it's not exactly what they were expecting. You know that. And that's the reason why I say, my friends, it is not just pronouncing name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus, Jesus name, in Jesus name, in Jesus name. Good. I'm not against that, but name has a meaning. Name is character. Name is given to a son. See, my name is Saju John Matthew. Now, who is Matthew? Matthew is my father. My father. So, I'm Matthew, and the name Matthew is with me, and it is upon me. I'm bearing the name of my father. How can I bear the name of my father? I have some laborers and somebody who is working in our field. Some of them are even living with us. But they do not bear the name Matthew. They are laborers. They are servants. The servants in my house doesn't bear the name of my father. Only me. Why? Because I'm the person who was born, who is born to my father. So the name of Jesus is upon a person only when you are born to him. That's why I say the name Jesus is not a small thing. It's not just the name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus. You know, it is ignorance. It is ignorance. I tell you, my friends, you have the authority to take the name only if you are born of him and only if you are bearing the name. Bearing. And if you are bearing the name, there is no need for making big noise in saying the name of Jesus and all. Well, if you bear the name of Jesus, then the demons will flee. No, there is no doubt. There is no need to make big noise and all kind of things. If you bear the name of Jesus, then say even the devil knows that you are a child of God. And you get the name by being born into the family of God. When I'm born into this world, I'm born of Matthew. And my name is Saju John Matthew. See, in my passport, in my ID cards, it is not just Matthew. They have put all the names of my forefathers, something like, you know, I'm Saju John Matthew, Scaria Thomas Matthew, something like that. I don't know. Means, you know, they are my forefathers. So what happens? I was just thinking, if I am trying to trace the forefather's name, then it would have been like the Saju John Matthew, Scaria Thomas Matthew, dash, 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 dash. Finally, it is Adam. So the final word comes Adam, because I'm born of Adam, because he is my forefather. And if that is the case, everybody in the world, it is Mr. Adam. And that is true. By being born into this world, everybody is Mr. Adam. So that's the reason why we cannot even go back to paradise, because God has put his cherubims there with a sword not to allow Adam to go back. If I want to go back to paradise, the angels will ask me, who are you? I'm saying, I'm Saju. Saju, then Adam. No, you're not allowed to come here. Because I'm Adam. When you're born into this world, I'm Adam. But when you're born again, my name has changed. It is no more Saju, John, Matthew, Thomas, Kariya, man. No. It's only one name. Saju Jesus. Hallelujah. Saju Jesus. I'm Saju Jesus. Why? Because I'm born into the family of God. I'm a child of God. Yeah, how wonderful it is, my friends. I really enjoy it. I love it. I'm Saju Jesus. I bear the name of Jesus. And this is what is exactly needed in these days. Do you bear the name of Jesus? Look at yourself. If you bear the name of Jesus, then certainly I need to say, I have some authority. And that's the reason why even here John says that those who believe in his name, he has given them authority. Authority. By birth, you get an authority. We have authority. We have authority as a son. A son will have authority. He represents the father. I represent my father. I go to my people or in my village or some other places. We have farms and all. When I go there, I'm going in my father's name. So they obey me. My laborers or, you know, the servants, they obey me. Why? It's not because I'm stout and big. It's because I bear the name of my father. Do you understand, my friends? It's the same. When you are becoming a child of God, everything is under you because you have authority. Your authority is not to do anything what you want. A son will never do that. But authority is not given for the people who are coming to church, or everybody coming to your house doesn't have the authority, right? Not for the guests, nothing. But it is only for the sons. It is only for the children. And authority gives you access. In Romans chapter 5 verse 2, we see that because of him, of Jesus, we have access towards God. Access. Earlier we did not have an access. As I said, when I was going to the paradise, you know, the angels were not allowing me because I'm Adam, Mr. Adam. But now if I go, then certainly if they ask me, what is your name? I will say, oh, I'm Saju. But what is your surname? I'm Jesus. Okay, come in. Because I have access. I have access to my father's house because I'm born to him. I have access towards God. I have access to the Father. Even in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. And we see that we have access with one spirit. We have access towards the Father. And we have access to the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 we see that we have access to the throne of grace. Certainly it is. Earlier it was only for the priests. But now, because you are a child, you have access to the throne of grace. Because it's your Father who sits there. It's your Father. You have access. And again, authority takes away shame. How do you enter into your home? If it is your home, you will never look here and there. Hey, anybody sees me? No. You are entering into your home. There's no shame for you. It's you are so happy. And you are courageous to enter into the presence of God. You're courageous to go to your home. So authority takes away shame.
It is authority. Take the case of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, when he came back, the father was giving him a ring. You know, it is the ring of authority that shows that he is a son. He did not have a ring earlier because he left the house and he was away from his father and he gave up everything he had. In that case, he was not allowed to enter into the house. But now, the father, when he came back, the father was giving him the first thing. It is a ring that shows that he is the son. And any servant, how come you here? Suppose some servants were not there when he was coming back, and what was happening in the house, he was not knowing. Hey, why? How can you come in? Then he can show the ring. Likewise, if somebody is asking you about your authority, what authority you have, then certainly it's not a ring. A ring doesn't give you authority, but it is the Jesus who is in. You can just show Jesus in you and say, yes, I'm a son because I have Jesus in. As authority. And also, this authority gives you freedom. It's freedom. In a lot of passages I need to read, but I don't have time. But in John chapter 8, verse 36, that we see that we are not slaves, but we are sons, and we are dwelling inside the house. A slave doesn't dwell in the house forever, but a son dwells in the house forever. A slave can enter into a house, no problem, for work and all, but you know, he cannot dwell in the house. We are not guests in God's house. We are not just slaves in God's house. We are sons. Of course, we serve the Lord. That is something different. But we are serving not as a slave. We are serving Jesus as a son. So it gives us freedom. That freedom, and even in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we see that it is for freedom that Christ made us free. But that freedom is not to do sin. Again, when we read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 onwards, it just go through that passage. You know that it's that freedom is not to commit sin. That freedom is not to indulge in sin. But that freedom is not to do sin, but it is the freedom from sin. It is not the freedom to sin, it is the freedom from sin. Earlier, I was a slave to sin. But when I became a child of God, when sin comes to me, I say, I have nothing to do with you, because I am a child of God. Earlier, when sin comes, and when temptations comes, I was falling into it, because I was a slave. That's what we see in Romans chapter 7, what Paul says, I'm a slave to sin. But now I'm not a slave to sin. Then now sin comes to me to make me a slave. I say, no, I have nothing to do with you. Go away. I have nothing to do with you. Because I have freedom from sin. Now I need not obey my sinful desires. And authority gives you inheritance. You are a son. In Galatians chapter 4, 5, verse 5 to 7, we see that as if you are a son, you are a heir with Jesus Christ. Because we are children of God, we have everything that Jesus has in heaven. And even in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, we see the same thing. We have inheritance. And again, I want to say, my friends, I was telling about all the privileges of becoming a child of God. But it is not just just privileges. It is responsibility. If you are a child, you have responsibility in your home. Suppose you are coming to my home. There is a wall clock in my home, and if it doesn't work, do you think that you are going out and go to a supermarket and buy some dry cells and make it right? No, you are just a guest. You're not bothered about that kind of things. You have no responsibility because it's not your home. But when I go to my home, if I see my wall clock doesn't work, I make it right because that house belongs to me. So my dear friends, in these days, I'm sorry to say, many people think they need to receive everything from the church. That's all. They need prayer, they need comfort, they need counseling, they need this and that, they need all kind of things. But no one talks about his responsibility inside the church. And even outside the church. If you are inside the kingdom of God, you represent God and you have responsibility. And my friends, you need to see that you are fulfilling the responsibility as a son. Finally, I want to say one thing. It's very simple. Do not spoil your father's name. If you're a son, do not spoil your father's name.
In Romans chapter 2, verse 24, we see the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. This is the biggest problem the church faces in these days. Many times, my friends, because of our character, because of what we do, because of our attitude, the name of the Lord is blasphemed. If you're a son, I tell you, you should never spoil the name of your father. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, you know, He gave His own life for us. He made us His sons, children. But it is time for you to think about it and thank God for it, that's true. But at the same time, make sure that the name of the Lord is not blasphemed because of you. Let's close our eyes. Let this be your prayer. I tell you, my friends, only when Jesus goes in, and only when you are born to Jesus and bear the name of Jesus, you are becoming a child of God. You cannot become a child of God just by going to a church. You cannot become a child of God just by entering your name in the register of the church. You cannot become a child of God just by singing songs or even worship God. You cannot become a child of God just by even believing that Jesus Christ came here to save your sins and died on a cross and risen from the dead and everything. Even believing these things will not give you the sonship. It's only when Jesus goes in. When Jesus goes in, what is the proof? All your viruses will go out. All the sins will go out. You will be purified. And finally, it gives you authority. It takes away your shame. Everything is there. But at the same time, you have responsibilities. You need to see that the kingdom of God is growing and the kingdom of God is glorified through you. Never allow anything that will make a shame for your Father God. Close our eyes. Lord, we pray that through us and our action, let thy name not be blasphemed, O God. Thank you, Lord, for calling us and making us your children. We are really thankful to you for that. But at the same time, we want to continue in the house. We are not slaves. The slaves do not continue, abide in the house. But we are children. So we want to abide in your house, God. We want to abide in our house. And we know that we have all the inheritance waiting for us, the inheritance of glory. We are co-heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that. And the life that we have here in this world, we will use it for glorifying your name and fulfilling the responsibility and the mission that you have entrusted upon us, God. And we declare that none of our deeds, none of our words, none of our thoughts will cause damage to your name. You have to see that your name is glorified through our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.